This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. This is Preservation Month in Cincinnati, and joining us to discuss efforts to preserve and restore older buildings in Cincinnati are Cincinnati Preservation Collective co-founder Diana Taishu and Treasurer John Blatchford, and Cincinnati Preservation Association Executive Director Paul Muller. And you can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Paul, Diana, and John, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Paul, Preservation Month in Cincinnati. That was a big deal there, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're very happy to have it. It's been going nationally for a long time, but this year we really appreciate Mayor John Cranley proclaiming Preservation Month for May, and it's a good thing to do in Cincinnati because preservation happens to be the thing that's driving the revitalization of our city.
How much is it driving the city's revitalization?
Well, if you look at the census tracts that have increased in population, they're all where our historic buildings are. And, you know, it used to be that we would have to look to other cities to see what our historic resources could do for us. Now, you just look around over the Rhine, Walnut Hills, Price Hill, there are areas of the city where the major economic reinvestment is happening because of the historic buildings.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And Paul, tell us a little bit more. What kind of things went on during Preservation Month?
Well, we had our house tour up in the neighborhood of Rayburn in Mount Airy. We had about 400 people come out and tour five fantastic houses ranging from a very historic mansion to a LEED-certified modern building that was a couple years old. And our Cincinnati Preservation Collective had a lot of things going on, too, in Preservation Month.
Yeah, during Preservation Month, we really like to slam everything into one month. It gets really busy. I think every weekend we had something going on. So the Preservation Collective actually has monthly meetups at bars around town. And so we had our monthly meetup. And we had photo walks. We have photo walks every month, the last Sunday of the month. So we had a really good one there. And we also, during Preservation Month, Bike Month is also happening. So we partner up with the bike community, and we have a preservation bike ride. And this year we toured parking lots all throughout downtown and talked about what was there and also how people could view parking lots differently and how we could, you know, change the spaces surrounding parking lots.
Yeah, and we've done that ride for three straight years, and I think it's growing every year.
How many people usually get you on?
I think this year we had 40.
Yeah, but last year, this year was a little rainy, so we didn't have as high of a turnout as we wanted. Last year we had 80 people, I think. Mm-hmm. It was overwhelming to say anything, but really fun.
Well, what role do historic buildings play in revitalizing the entire city?
Oh, they have a huge role. I mean, when you walk down the street and feel the layers that you're crossing, the fabric that you see on either side of you, I think to me and to those that are surrounding me, you know, you feel this really emotional connection with place. And when a place is created that has different layers and different histories within it, I think that's something that you really feel rather than even see.
Yeah. And that visceral level that Diana's talking about is kind of layered into several other layers. There's been a change in the structure of American business recently where the innovation economy are seeking places like that. And, you know, we see it, it's in Cincinnati, a lot of other cities. But the new businesses, the new jobs, the creativity seek out places like our historic buildings offer.
Mm-hmm. Where is most of this preservation work going on, Paul?
Oh, you mean within Cincinnati?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, obviously over the Rhine.
That's the one people always think about, right?
South of Liberty.
Preservation.
But, you know, there are several pockets of it that are coming on very strong right now that don't – I mean, they do get the press, but in dollar volume, they're probably equivalent to what's happening in over the Rhine. If you look at 4th Street, the Cincinnati Renaissance Hotel was, you know, closed and dark for a long time. It was redeveloped. It's an 18-story Daniel Burnham high-rise. Diagonally across the street from that, the 4th and Walnut Center is another Daniel Burnham building that is being redeveloped. And then the Tri-State building on Fountain Square, a third great Daniel Burnham high-rise. And since they are all under either completed or being redeveloped. So this preservation is spreading out through other parts of the city.
Yeah, and I think it's important to mention the historic preservation tax credits because, you know, we're all in the preservation community, and I think maybe, you know, quote-unquote preservationists in general are deemed maybe sentimental or we love history or we're in the way of development. But I think especially with the historic preservation tax credits, they've been used to leverage tons of investment all around Cincinnati and all around the country. And I think, you know, Cincinnati is a leading city in using historic tax credits to redevelop buildings.
513-419-7100 to join us. And Omar in Sycamore Township joins us now. Hi, Omar.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Good. I had a quick question. You know that old ammunition factory alongside the Loveland Bike Trail? It's on Grandin Road. It's pretty close to Kings Island, actually.
Peters. Yeah, the Peters Remington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what's going to happen to that place.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it was announced. I think they did get tax credits.
They applied for them. I think they might have gotten them in the last round.
I think they received tax credits in December of last year, and it's going to be, I think, mixed use between apartments and then maybe even commercial on the first floor.
Yeah, and it's a great developer that's doing it. Same one that did the American Can building in Northside and the Ford factory in Walnut Hills. But tax credits are really essential to those type of buildings.
Well, is this some people would say, okay, you want to have preservation, but yet you have property rights. How do you balance the two things, property rights versus preservation cost of doing this?
No, that's an excellent question. We've come to a great consensus about that, both nationally and here in Cincinnati. Our zoning code gives you certain protections when you buy property, and it also puts some restrictions on you. For example, I live in Clifton, and I couldn't put a filling station on the property where my house is. That might be a problem for me if I want to do a filling station, but it's good for all my neighbors. The historic preservation works the same way. When there is a historic district that, you know, has qualities and values that are deemed to be important, you can't tear that building down if there's any economically viable use for it. And the beautiful thing about it in Cincinnati right now is people want these buildings, and so there are economically viable uses for most of them.
And so what makes a building historic?
Well, first, 50 years and older is kind of the guideline, but there are some buildings that are considered historic that are younger than 50 years
old. So it's not just an age thing?
It's not just an age thing. Sometimes it's a cultural thing. You know, if it fits within a certain bracket and represents a certain period of time, even if it's younger than 50 years old, then that counts. But generally, it's been 50 years or older.
Yeah, and they can be historic for demonstrating a particular architectural quality that is significant to defining the character of an area, mm-hmm. or having been associated with important events in shaping of a community or culture. We value these things in our country, and it goes all the way back to really sort of saving Mount Vernon in 1850. That was the first time Americans said, there are things here that are important, let's preserve them. And it turns out to make a lot of economic sense right now. People are moving back to cities, and Cincinnati happens to have a lot of what people are looking for, or interesting, authentic places.
Yeah, I think there is a distinction to be made. I think most people appreciate that the grand, ornate historic buildings are important. But I think often people will look at a, you know, historic building amongst other historic buildings and think, okay, individually it's not that great, or, you know, why do we need to preserve this individual one by itself? But I think it's important to make a point of, you know, historic districts matter. I mean, if you look at over the Rhine, if we only save the most ornate and great buildings, there would only be maybe 10 buildings left. I think, and that's true in Paris and in any great historic city worldwide, where you know, historic buildings together make up a historic district that's important.
Yeah. You know, and we're not just talking about large commercial buildings. We're talking about all manner of buildings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of foresight to do this. And our city had that beginning in 1964. About 50 years ago when our organization was formed as Miami Purchase, the Lytle Park Historic District was created, and shortly after the Dayton Street District. And then in 1980, the city wrote a very comprehensive and cutting-edge historic conservation ordinance, which created the Historic Conservation Board. And then in 2012, that was modernized, it was streamlined, and it was actually made much stronger. So we've had over 110 members of city council during the time period we've sort of forged this consensus, and there have been, I think, 12 mayors during that time. So it's not just a whim. And preservation takes that long-term view, because there was a time when most of the buildings in Over the Rhine didn't really have prospects for a good economic use. Now people are getting the worst of them and seeing that they can make them work.
Paul, tell us some more about the Cincinnati Preservation Association, how it got started.
Yeah. There was a threat to some archaeologic sites at Shawnee Lookout, and three women with a lot of foresight said, you know, we need to organize the society or the community to protect those. And we look back and really kind of admire what they were able to do. But within 2 years, they had 600 members, which is more than we currently have today. So we've got to catch up with them. but then we celebrated our 50th anniversary a few years ago. But one of the things I want to say is we're really lucky in Cincinnati to have the Cincinnati Preservation
Collective.
Yeah. Sorry, I know it.
And we want Diana to tell us about the collective, too.
She may be able to say more about this than I can, but the relationship between our two organizations is kind of unique in the country. And I get a lot of admiration from the other sort of old-style preservation groups. It's like, you know, what's going on with the sort of younger urbanist people in your community? You know, how did that happen? And all I can say is we didn't do it, but we're really happy about it.
Yeah, so it's actually I volunteered for the Cincinnati Preservation Association for years before CPC started, and I've had an interest in preservation and urbanism for a really long time. And a couple of years ago, about 4 years ago, I sat down with Paul and Margo and said, you know, we really need a young preservationist group. We need something to kind of blend together all of these different groups that are active in historic preservation and make it a little fun, more engaging with younger people. So we started CPC. I brought John in shortly after I came up with the idea. We sat and drew out our logo and said, you know, this is happening. But we started at Milton's Bar. We had our first meetup. About 30 people showed up. We talked about historic preservation and kind of what our goals were and what our view of preservation across all 52 neighborhoods was. And we formed a plan on how we could have a good impact on our city and how we could make a sustainable organization and also sustain Cincinnati's historic infrastructure. And it's been really fun. We've had a ton of great events that have drawn a lot of people together. And I know John wanted to talk about the impact buildings in our program there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think both of our organizations believe in preservation, but I think it's important, you know, maybe to focus on what we want to do. If we can have a small impact every year, then that would be something. So every year we focus on five buildings. We call them our impact buildings. They're proposed from the community. Everybody submits a nomination. This year I think we had maybe 40, 45 nominations from around the community. Then we voted on it with our membership, and we chose five. So I have the five here, but basically the goal of the impact buildings every year is that we have some positive impact. It's not necessarily that we're going to buy the building or develop it, but if we can bring attention to the fact that it's blighted or even a great opportunity for redevelopment, that's kind of all we aim to do. So yeah, the five we have this year is the Casino Regal Theater. It's in the West End, Benjamin Harrison School in Sadamsville, the Vine Street Hill Chapel. It's in St. Bernard, Mount Auburn House at Mount Auburn, and then Burkhart Mansion in Avondale. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the call or the charge even right now would be some of these are available for development. They're great buildings. So if you're interested, please let us know.
John, how much would you say younger people are catching on to this? Is there an appreciation among younger people for preservation?
Yeah, I think preservation is kind of lining up, as Diana mentioned, with a lot of national trends, people moving back to cities, people interested in public transportation, de-emphasizing the use of the automobile. I think all these things kind of combine with the younger generation to form people that are interested in historic preservation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we have relationships with national organizations that have young preservation groups and, you know, the group that's been around for 50 years. And I oftentimes in our conversations with them, they talk about how they're butting heads and there isn't necessarily this collective and this network between the two groups. And I feel so fortunate that we've been able to work with CPA and especially on, you know, some recent preservation battles, we've been able to really live up to our motto of joining friends and saving buildings. And that's something great about CPA and CPC coming together.
Some of those recent collaborations, Paul?
Well, one of them is the Denison Hotel, mm-hmm. which we joined with CPC to actually hire an attorney to defend it. It's a new way of defending these buildings, and we're very happy to have this group to align with. And just the when we have an event, their people are right there, a part of it. I think Diana was at our house tour that we recently did. Coming up in the fall, we're going to have our fall forum, and every year we bring about 400 people together in the Hall of Mirrors in late October. This year, it's going to have a theme of how arts can be used to create urban vitality. We're really excited about bringing Jamie Bennett here from Art Space and Art Place America, and CPC will be heavily involved in that too.
Mm-hmm. So why would you say, in terms of being a draw, Is preservation a good draw for bringing people in from outside the community to get a lot of tourism from that?
Yeah, and when people, when there are certain people that when they move to a city, they say, where are the historic districts? And one of the things in Cincinnati is we have a lot of them. We have over 28 local historic districts, and people seek those out if they're coming from an area that had that sort of characteristic. The Brewing District is doing great things with using our brewing heritage as an attraction, and well, we have our icons too, which I just have to say, you know, Cincinnati is caring for those very well right now. Music Hall closed this weekend with a phenomenal show. Union Terminal is getting ready to do a $200 million restoration. Memorial Hall. We're really caring for our historic buildings that are the icons at a very high level. But we're also caring for the streetscape and the sort of gritty neighborhood part of our historic character. It's no longer a battle to convince people that preservation is not an obstacle to development. It's the route to development.
So, John, would you say Cincinnati is doing a pretty good job, especially compared to other cities when it comes to preservation?
Yeah, I think in a way we're very fortunate across the U.S. that we've had strong historic districts for a long time. I think it's a big reason that people are moving here, and I think it's a differentiator between almost any other city in the U.S. And I think even, you know, if you think if you look at a city like New York City, they have a large percentage of their buildings are historic, and I think per square foot are worth a lot more than the larger buildings. So certainly I think there is a union to be made between historic buildings and new development. But I think right now it's a big reason that people are coming here.
Yeah, and people are watching. You know, we have a pretty strong social media presence. You can find us at Preserve the Natty on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. And as you look at what people are following and liking the pictures of, oftentimes there are these historic buildings that somebody's walking down the street and takes a picture of it and tags Preserve the Natty. Or currently we're actually in a social media campaign. Today is the last day for hashtag This Place Matters Cincy. So cities across the country are taking pictures, and their citizens are taking pictures of their favorite buildings, and they each have their own special hashtag that the National Trust gave them for historic preservation gave them. And so ours is This Place Matters Cincy, and we are currently in second place across the nation, and we are really trying today to surpass that, our competition, and get first place. If we do win this national competition that the National Trust for Historic Preservation is putting on, we get a $500 party where we can drink lots of beer and meet lots of urbanists and preservationists and really come together.
We get the recognition for Cincinnati.
And we get the recognition, too.
Well, good luck on that. Paul and Diana and John, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Cincinnati Preservation Collective co-founder Diana Teichu and treasurer John Blatchford, and Cincinnati Preservation Association Executive Director Paul Muller